Those of us who have lived below the Red River most of our lives, we rarely are challenged on our belief in God. It's almost a given that everybody in Texas believes in God, and guns, and babies, and oil. It's, I think, a fair bet. If you grew up north of the Red River, which is all Yankee land as far as I'm concerned, you grew up mostly not just hearing about objections to Catholicism, but hearing about rejections of faith. Why would one believe in God? It's a great question. The proposal is very simple. St. Peter even recognizes it present in the first centuries of the church. Give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason of your hope. The absurdity that we would believe that God would become man, that then he would take on our sufferings and die for us, and then he would rise, is a pretty radical proposal. And to say that to a pagan world who had many gods, to say that to people who had worshipped ancestors, to say that to the Jewish people was not an easy task. But there had to be a reason for their hope. In East Texas, we very often will get caught up in the reason for why we do what we do as Catholics. And reasonably so, I'd encourage all of you to continue to brush up on your apologetics. But the question, why do we believe and have hope that Christ truly saves us and that we can live for eternity with him? I'd like to take you to the first century. St. Peter was a fisherman. He was dumb. He could work hard, but he didn't really have a whole lot of book smarts, and he probably didn't have a whole lot of common sense. He knew a trade very well, and that helped him to get ahead in life, or at least make sure there was food on the table. But he met a man who said, "Follow me." And that man didn't say really anything else. He just said, "Follow me." And St. Peter spent the next 3 years of his life following him and learning from him. Not just what he said, but what he did. St. Peter gives me hope. He should give all of us hope. Because he fell in love with the man who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And today, I want to meditate a little bit on following the man who is God, Jesus Christ, who is the truth. When we say we are followers of Christ as Christians, we follow a man whose words have had more impact on anybody, more than anybody else in the entire world. We follow a man whose childhood was relatively unknown and whose life after his ascension, after his resurrection, was only witnessed by a few thousand. What's amazing is that today, in every corner of the world, people are celebrating the resurrection of this man. But as you and I both know, fads go away quickly. And fads have things attached to them. Emotions. Fads have other things attached to them. Trends amongst a society. Fads have things attached to them that are relative. Circumstantial. The truth is none of those things. It's not relative in the sense that it's never going to change. And it's certainly not circumstantial because the difficult truth that Christ was slain and he rose from his death is still the truth today. But the challenge for those of you who lived above the Red River and for us even today as it grows ever more and more present is that people reject the truth exists. The reason for our hope is being rejected, not because people can't believe Christ would die and rise. It's being rejected because people don't want to accept that that reality is true. Because if that is in fact true, what does that mean? Not just for you and I who come every Sunday, what does it mean for the whole world to say that Christ truly is the Son of God? Christ truly is risen. Secularism has a twofold approach. One, to lure you in with the world, primarily through possessions and materials. And how many of us know that in our hearts, yes, there are things that we are attached to that probably are really not of God. There are things that definitely distract us from our relationship with Him. Even as a child, many times we get lost in the sense of coming to Mass and we start staring at the missalette, or we start staring up at the windows and we forget what's going on up here. And as adults, even more so, our thoughts are our greatest distraction. And a lot of our thoughts are about material things. What am I going to do to make sure I have this and to make sure I have that? What am I going to do about feeding my children after Mass? Well, don't worry about it. They'll get fed. Be here and present so that you know the truth. The reality is that secularism is going to push us at the level of our flesh and at the level of our soul. Our soul desires truth and beauty and goodness. Every one of us knows when we see something beautiful, it changes us. It doesn't just speak to us in a passing way. I'll meditate on the fact that I got to be in the presence of the Pietà once in my life for the rest of my life. Because there's something beautiful there that changes me. And each of us has had those experiences in our own faith. But what changes us even more substantially, because it changes not only our feelings but our minds, is the truth. The truth that God does love us. The truth that as He says today, I will remain with you and I will give you another advocate who will show you everything. He'll show you everything. The second arm of defense of secularism is relativism. To reject truth outrightly and to say that there is in fact no truth. It's all subjective to the human being and their interpretation. Simply put, that means there's no commandments. Love thy neighbor, that's really up to you if you want to love your neighbor. Don't kill people, that's up to you. Honor your mother and father, that's up to you. Don't steal, don't commit adultery. That's your choice, do what you want. That's what relativism says about the commandments. In the gospel, I didn't hear Jesus say, if you love me, you'll do whatever you want. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll follow the truth. You'll listen to the truth. Because I am the truth, the way, and the life. And I'm going to give you the Spirit to guide you throughout the ages. And oh yeah, that guy, that idiot fisherman who's been with me for 3 years, he's the one who has the truth. I've given him the Spirit to be with him always, to the end of the ages. To bind and to loose sins, to expel demons, to give you my body and my blood. And his successors, the bishops of Rome and the bishops throughout the world, they will be the ones who are the caretakers of truth. That's what Christ talks about in the Gospels. In the Acts of the Apostles, we see that come to flesh. What were the apostles doing? They saw all these great souls who had been baptized, but what did they need? They needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they laid hands on them, and they gave them the gift of confirmation. And then they didn't just say, okay, you're done, you're confirmed, just wait until you get married. No, they challenged them to go and be disciples that are going to change the world and give them the authority to exorcise demons, give them the authority to forgive sins, to baptize, give them the authority to interpret truth through sacred scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit. Relativism doesn't like any of that, because that means somebody else knows the truth and not just me. And there's been a great duel since that time with people called Gnostics who think they have some hidden truth, with Pelagians, with agnostics, with types of people who are going to pervert the truth to fit their needs. But Christ didn't say, truth can be whatever you say. He says, I will give you the truth. because I am the truth. So each of us can respond to this twofold attack of secularism in one of two ways. We can give in to our flesh, and we can give in to our subjective desires and reject God and reject the church and do what we want. Many of us have chosen that life at some point. I certainly know I did. But many of us also know you'll always want more. And you'll never really be satisfied. Because there's nothing that the world will offer quite like God. There's nothing that can satisfy us like the truth. The other option is to take up what Christ commanded all his apostles to do. Go and baptize and teach all nations. And for those of us who are a little older, a little wiser maybe, not saying I'm either of those things, you've experienced a lack of formation. And I apologize to you on behalf of the church. We failed to teach you. At times we gave in to modern temptations of relativism and said, it's fine, let the faith be whatever you want it to be. As priests, as bishops, we made that choice. But certainly, any of you know now that that's not the way of the truth. That's not the way of Christ's bride, the church. And for each of you, you have that responsibility. You can keep blaming the church. Maybe you never had those problems and you were well formed in the faith. Well, good. But if you've had struggles, find the truth. Be responsible for your faith. In the letter of St. James, we hear faith without works is dead. Well, faith without reason is dead. And for many of us who just have the faith, we need to bolster our ability to understand what God wants for us. Teachers will come and go. Parents are the first teachers of the faith. And so for parents, it's your responsibility to teach, not only in your knowledge of Christ and his bride, the church, but to live the example of fidelity to God that we see in the apostles and the disciples. And for those of us who bear the responsibility of teaching in the name of the church, we owe it to you, and I ask you to demand it from us, to give you the faith. Not my interpretation, but the faith Christ established through his apostles in scripture and tradition. The Holy Spirit is coming. The joy of the Feast of Pentecost is only 2 weeks away. And as we prepare for that joyful event, when the Holy Spirit descended upon Mary, the first apostle, and the 12 in the upper room, we ask for her help. We ask that she, the star of evangelization, guide us. She who knew the truth incarnate in her womb, pray for us. As we continue to fight a world that says no truth exists and do whatever your flesh tells you to do, let us pray that we can be people who follow the way, the truth, and the life. Alleluia, alleluia.